Welcome in. It is Vern's Hot Stove live from Surprise, Arizona, site of Royal Spring Training 2024. We do it each and every Thursday night from 6 until 7 o'clock. Coming up, two of the most impressive arms out here in Arizona as far as Royals camp is concerned. A pair of right-handers, highly touted right-handers coming out of college. Former first-round pick, the former Florida Gator, Brady Singer, joins us coming up in 15 minutes. And former Royals second-round pick, Alec Marsh, out of Arizona State. He's coming up in 30 minutes. But first, I want to start as I'm here in the desert, boots on the ground. Let me give you my top five storylines from camp as we now sit 3 weeks out from opening day 2024. Number five, the rotation battle. It always begins on the mound. If this season is going to be better than last, if it's going to be dramatically better than last, it's going to begin on the hill. Only one spot up for grabs as we sit here today. I cannot remember the last time that was the case, because keep in mind, every team has a battle for the five spots. It's just you and I both know normally when reporting to spring training, the 3, 4, and 5 spot are up for grabs. Not the case here in 24. Cole Reagans, without a doubt, your number one. Is he the opening day starter? Not sure about that, but there's no doubt about it. He's the ace of the staff. You may have read a scout telling Jeff Passan of ESPN and ESPN.com that Cole Reagans is a left-handed Jacob deGrom. Let's hope that is solely because of the stuff, the velo, and the ability, and we're not revisiting this in a few months talking about the injury concerns that have plagued deGrom and have hampered the start of Cole Reagan's career. Had a chance to talk with the lefty earlier this week. He's handling it all so well. The attention, the expectations, some might say the pressure. He continues to focus on winning, saying everything else takes care of itself when you win. And I look into his eyes, man. I'm looking deep into the body language, the mannerisms. Does he mean what he's saying? Is there anything behind the eyes? Is he just giving me the standard baseball cliche? Because I'll tell you, there are a handful of guys in that clubhouse giving you baseball cliches. Almost dead behind the eyes, just regurgitating what they were told to say. That's not Cole Reagans. When he says the focus is winning, when you heap all the praise on him, when he sees the adulation from rival scouts and baseball writers from all across the country, he's unfazed by it, which is exactly what you want from your number one. Michael Wacha, we had a chance to talk with him last week. Should have seen him and Cole Reagans earlier today going back and forth, watching the bullpens of teammates before what was supposed to be a game this afternoon got started. You always see a Singer, a Reagans, a Marsh, always in the vicinity of Michael Wacha. Speaking of Michael Wacha, you know he's wearing the number 52 this season, right? He got it from Daniel Lynch. Daniel Lynch now rocking Danny Duffy's old number 41. So what did Michael Wacha give Daniel Lynch in return for that number 52? I'm not a guitar guy, but this looked like one of the sweetest Fender guitars I've ever seen. In the box, delivered right to Daniel Lynch earlier this week. Seth Lugo, of course, he's a little bit more stoic than a Michael Wacha, but he's a lock for the rotation. This dude's about his business. And then Brady Singer, of course, rounding it out as the number four. Maybe he'll find his way up to the number two or number three. But when you talk to coaches and front office personnel about Brady Singer, the word that keeps coming out of their mouths, motivated. Now, you know Brady Singer. You know the competitor that he's been dating back to his days in Florida, right? Yelling at the rain, screaming at anybody that gets in his way. Guy was motivated when he was 16. It pays off his parents' mortgage when he gets drafted. He's always had goals, bigger goals than the average high schooler, college pitcher, rookie pitcher. But now the baseball men and women that surround this Royals organization are talking about how they've never seen him more motivated. If that doesn't get you geared up, I don't know what would. So there you go. Four guys already locked into the rotation with Jordan Lyles, right now the front runner for the five spot. Angel Zerpa throwing strikes on a consistent basis. Alec Marsh, who we'll talk to coming up momentarily. Daniel Lynch and Anthony Veneziano. Those are the guys right now battling for that fifth and final spot. To me, the fourth biggest storyline right now from Royal Spring Training is the overall roster improvement. You know, I mentioned the five guys vying for one rotation spot. Again, in years previous, those five guys are vying for the final three spots, and we're opening up the year with Lyles as your three, Lynch as your four, and you're hoping that Alec Marsh can continue the magic that we saw out here in spring because he's going to be your number five. No, you got a real competition now. Look at the bullpen. The top spots in the bullpen are now locked up by veterans. Veterans without options. Veterans still within their prime years, right? This isn't Wade Davis and Greg Holland coming back to mentor young arms that are trying to find their way in the big leagues. No, you look throughout that bullpen and you got guys that have put up numbers in the show. So the bullpen, the rotation. Shoot, we went over this last week with my X, Y, and Z, my three players that if they click this season, the Royals will be competing for a postseason spot. And my X, Y, and Z in years previous were, you know, Jackson Kowar and Adalberto Mondesi, Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich, young men with talent, no doubt about it, but young men that hadn't put it together or really shown much at the big league level. Those were the players that you and I were looking at saying, you need to be the ones to spark this season and get us out of the doldrums in which we found ourselves at Kauffman Stadium for almost a decade now. So as we look at this team and the overall roster improvement, I look at the three guys that I think are going to be the linchpins of the season. One of them was the Major League Pitcher of the Month last year, Cole Ragans. Another one was a member of Team USA from the World Baseball Classic last year, Brady Singer. And the other was the number three hitter for Yadier Molina and Team Puerto Rico in last year's World Baseball Classic. A guy that has already been a league average hitter at the big league level twice before turning 25. Talking about MJ Melendez. Those are your question marks this season. Ragans, Singer, and Melendez. That alone should show you the sea change of talents within this Royals organization. My third biggest storyline is we now sit 3 weeks away from opening day. Let's go back to the pitching. It's that bullpen battle. And I wonder, in that bullpen battle, does it simply just come down to the losers of the rotation battle? Think about it. You have eight spots in the bullpen. Five of them, in my mind, are locked up. Will Smith and Chris Stratton, John Schreiber, Nick Anderson, and James MacArthur. You're in. Matthew Sauer, is he a lock because he's a Rule 5 guy? I don't think so. Again, if we're talking about the overall talent on this team, then I'm not going to be beholden to the Rule 5 guy. We're past that. I don't want to say you're done rebuilding. If Sauer hits, if Sauer becomes, if Matthew Sauer becomes a guy that catches your attention out here in spring, okay, maybe, but thus far, not earning that spot. So I wouldn't count him as a lock. I think he got three spots open right now, and if Jordan Lyles grabs that number five spot in the rotation, I think Alec Marsh, Angel Zerpa, and Daniel Lynch. I think those three grab the final few spots out in that Royals bullpen with John McMillan and Carlos Hernandez and Will Klein coming soon. My second biggest story of Royals spring training as we sit 3 weeks away is a question. And the question of the season. Do they have enough hitting? Do they have enough offense? Now, Sal, Bobby, Vinny, you got to feel good with the top three. I know I feel good with the top three. You know, Salvi appears as loose as he's been since Hosmer and Moustakas and those guys left. Finally, Salvi has some dogs to go to battle with. Hasn't had a group like this in quite a while. So once you dive into Bobby's, you know, superstardom, Salvi's Hall of Fame trajectory, and even Vinny Pasquantino, who looks healthier, looks slimmer, just looks good offensively and defensively. You feel good about your big three. Now we look at that next group. Because the big three gotta do damage. You know that. But three, certainly not enough to bang with the Yankees and the Orioles, the Rangers, the Astros. Shoot, probably not enough to bang with the Minnesota Twins. So look at that next group. The guys that aren't the guarantee that Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi are, but they're just on the outskirts looking in, just on the outside looking in. They're not the guarantee, but boy, they better be. You know, Michael Garcia says to me earlier today, I got more extra base hits in me this year. I'm not selling out for power. I'm talking gap to gap. I'm talking doubles. I'm talking triples. But I got more power in me this year. And I can steal 30 bags if I'm leading off. Now, Adam Frazier might get a look or two as the leadoff guy, but Michael Garcia very confident coming in this season, as he should be. But Michael Garcia is still a table setter. Garcia is not the guy that you say, bud, we need you to put us on your back tonight. We need you to lead us to victory. Bobby can do that. Vinny can do that. Salvi can do that. Can Hunter Renfro do that? Now, he's a table clearer, no doubt about it. He put on a show earlier today in batting practice, no doubt about it. He's hit 20 home runs every full season that he's played at the big league level. And you got to have it again this year. So, three guarantees in Salvi, Bobby, and Vinny. I need Mike Cal and Hunter Renfro to be guarantees. And even that's not enough. Right? You would agree that's not enough. You got to have more than five powerful or intimidating or productive bats. You got to have more than five. Give me one more. Where does it come from? MJ Melendez, we mentioned him earlier. He's one of my pendulum swingers for 2024. He was on Cody and Gold earlier. Check out that interview on the Odyssey app. Just search Cody and Gold. Michael Massey looks fantastic out here in spring. He looked fantastic out here in spring last year as well. Nelson Velasquez looks a little too bulky to be a corner outfielder. I'll tell you that right now. Drew Waters, we talked with him a few weeks ago, and he said, man, I'm always moving too fast. I'm always going at 110 miles per hour. I need to rein it in. Still, in my mind, still looks like he's going a little bit too fast, trying to do a little bit too much. Kyle Isbell, swing looks a little bit more compact this year, looks better this year. But you know the deal with Kyle Isbell. It's defense first. Whatever I get offensively is a bonus. You can win with a defensive first center fielder when you're the Royals playing at Kauffman Stadium. So my second biggest question is, do they have enough offense? Because right now I think they got three bats that you can rely on. I'm hoping that they have five that you can rely on. And you and I need them to have six that they can rely on. Which leads me to my biggest question, or excuse me, my biggest storyline from Royal Spring Training as we sit 3 weeks away from the opener. To me, my biggest takeaway here from being out in Surprise, the thing that has impressed me the most, that is my headline from camp, is the clarity in which these guys speak of their goals. It's no, well, you know, we would like to do this, or yeah, of course we expect to win the World Series. You know, that token throw. These guys are steely-eyed, looking you in your soul, telling you the goal is to win. The goal is to get to the postseason. The goal is to win the division, grab a wild card by hook or by crook. I want to taste it. I want to know what October's like. I was talking with Cole, well, I mentioned Cole Reagans earlier. Nick Lofton had a great conversation with the Royals utility guy. What he learned last year about himself? Said, I didn't learn much about myself. What I learned was about my teammates. Keep in mind, Nick Lofton gets to the big leagues in September. At this point, the Royals are careening towards the worst season in franchise history. History! So he arrives, steps into that clubhouse, And honestly, he was expecting somewhat of a downtrodden club, a bunch of individuals going through the motions. And yet, it's a bunch of battlers. It's a bunch of fighters. It's a bunch of young men that still believed we're going to win today. How many times have you and I had the conversation about that last group? Nicky Lopez and Hunter Dozier, Whit Merrifield and Brad Keller that were just beaten down by the losing that eventually started to show up understanding and accepting we're probably going to come out on the wrong end. So when Nick Lofton gets to the big leagues and sees that Bobby and Massey and Velasquez and Garcia and Salvi, man, they're taking the field as if we're eye to eye with the Houston Astros, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the New York Yankees, the best of the best. We're going right at them. The clarity in which these guys have been speaking about the team's goals. And when I say the clarity, it's not just that the individual that I'm speaking to believes it. It's that it's mimicked, it's parroted by everyone. They're saying the exact same thing. It is one cohesive group. Perfect example. I'm talking with Will Smith, who, as Andy Rogers told us last week, man, this dude is in the middle of everything. Every conversation, every laugh inside of the clubhouse, you'll see Will Smith around it. But he's talking about a golf outing that the team put together. Had about 30, 40 guys there. Nate Eaton does all the legwork, sets it all up. But, you know, Will Smith and the rest of the vets kind of getting everybody together. Beckway, Dan, Altavia are the champions of the scramble. But those are the kind of things that matter. Those type of team bonding exercises out here in spring. Because again, as we talked about last September, what Nick Lofton points out, that these guys are believing in each other, that they're not losers, that they still expect to be champions, to win on a nightly basis at the big league level, despite the fact that the Royals haven't won anything in almost 10 years. So when you see them coming together and having these type of excursions, these type of team retreats, this matters to winning, because when you do that, when you build those kind of relationships now, you're willing to sacrifice over the course of 162. You're willing to sacrifice your own numbers for the betterment of the group. Willing to sacrifice for someone that you're friendly with. Willing to hold a friend accountable. Willing to have a difficult conversation with a guy that you really respect. Tell him he needs to pick it up. Or accept when he tells you that you need to pick it up. Those are the type of things that are built here. In spring training. Talked about it with Michael Massey earlier today about that sacrifice. Sacrificing those at-bats. It's hard to do without experience. A lot of these guys didn't have experience last season, so when they get up there at the dish and the job is move the runner from second to third, and the pitcher's pitching you away because he doesn't want you to pull it, stick with the game plan. Pull it. Get it to the right side. Get that man to third. Don't play those tricks where, okay, well, if he's going to pitch me away, maybe I just flick it over the third baseman's head. No, cannot play into those games. And when you see your friend, your brother out there on second base, and then another friend and brother in the on deck circle, you're willing to roll one over to the right side, advance your buddy to third because you believe your buddy in the on deck circle's ultimately going to get the job done. So yeah, to me, the biggest takeaway from spring training thus far has been the clarity in which this team talks about their goals for 2024. We'll hear more about it with John Sherman, Royals chairman and CEO. He's going to join Fesco in the morning tomorrow at 7:30 right here on 610 Sports Radio. But when we get back, we talk with Brady Singer on the Hot Stove Show. Welcome back, Vern's Hot Stove here on 610 Sports Radio. Again, yeah, Royals chairman and CEO John Sherman tomorrow morning, 7:30. Fesco in the morning on 610 Sports Radio. Brady Singer spun another gem a couple of days ago. First two starts of spring. So far, so good. Dude's yet to allow a run, surrendering just three base runners total across five innings of two-hit ball. Speaking of two new pitches for Brady Singer, as Annie Rogers told us all about last week, the four-seam fastball and the sweeper to go along with the sinker, the slider, and the change. I had a chance to talk with Brady Singer, and I wanted to start with something that Whit Merrifield said. He said it on Cody and Gold a few years ago, saying that, quote, Brady Singer has only four thoughts going through his head at all times. Those four thoughts are sinker, slider, grilled chicken, and Gator football. So I started the conversation with Brady wondering, only four thoughts going through your head, sinker, slider, grilled chicken, and Gator football. Is that still the case?
That's still true. A lot of grilled chicken in my diet. And Gator football is always there in my mind. You know, I'm looking for them to put together some better years here coming forward and look forward to that. But yes, anchors always in my mind. So those are four pretty good facts about me.
Numbers in spring are pretty good, but they're numbers in spring. What do you make of them?
Yeah, no, I feel really good. I think the biggest thing is using these different pitches I've kind of learned. We've talked about them a little bit, but implementing those into my games there, and learning when to throw them. I've obviously been a two pitch guy for a long time, so I kind of had a game plan going into every outing, knowing what I'm going to do, but trying to learn when to throw these new pitches, and I really like them. The metrics on them are good, and just more weapons that I have this spring. But I think the command plus those pitches has worked out well for me.
What's the genesis of the new pitches? Does that start with an off season of how can I get better? Does a coach bring it to you? Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, a mixture of both. I mean, obviously, I need some more pitches. I've done that, for a long time, and we've sat here and battled the changeup, and, I've obviously worked on that my whole career. It's just a pitch that, hasn't came as much as I'd like, but it's obviously still a work in progress. We're working on that daily, looking at new grips, and I got the split grip right now. But, definitely myself with the pitches, but the coaching staff as well. They've brought to me, reasons why I need them to use them. And the four-seamer right now is a pitch that I'm really enjoying throwing. I just think it's given a different look at the hitters. And the sweeper, I'm finding a lot of success with a lot of swing and miss on that, but obviously keeping my old slider too. So I got kind of two different shapes on the sliders. And, breaking pitches are stuff that I'm comfortable with. So, I know when to use those as much as I can, and, looking for that swing and miss, and, using them early in the count too.
Your competitiveness, I think, is one of the attributes that most people would cite first when describing you as a pitcher. So I'm wondering, I hear so many coaches, front office people talk about, man, how motivated you are. And I'm like, ever since I first talked to this dude, he's as motivated as they come. Is it any different? How do you feel heading into what I believe is fifth year.
Crazy, man. Yeah, first of all, that's flown by. Yeah. I was counting the years the other day, and I'm like, there's no way I'm in my fifth year. It's gone by quick, but it's been so much fun. I mean, everyone says the major leagues are fun, and obviously they are, but I think the thing that brings me most joy is learning new stuff each and every year, and kind of a up and down career in my opinion, but trying to find success as much as I can. I think the biggest thing is staying consistent. Last year was kind of tough, and staying with that, and you look at the guys in the league that have stayed consistent their whole career, and they've put together incredible careers. But you got to obviously understand that there is going to be ups and downs. Not everyone's perfect, and that's kind of something I battle, is trying to be perfect every single time I go out there. And but yeah, just kind of trying to learn the consistentness of baseball, and enjoying it along the way.
Talk about the guys that have been consistent over years. Michael Wacha certainly has been that. You spent time around Adam Wainwright last year in the World Baseball Classic. I'm not sure they're different people.
Right, yeah.
They look alike. They sound alike. What's that relationship?
Yeah, very.
Like?
I've mentioned that to a few people, that they're very, very similar people. And, Wainwright, just for that short amount of time, was one of the greatest, guys I got to sit there and talk to. And obviously, the careers speak for themselves. And the cool thing is Wainwright was, 20 years in the big leagues, and Wacha's had a lot of success, and you watch both those guys continue to try to get better. They're mm-hmm. they're asking me questions of how to different pitch shapes and stuff like that, and it's just cool to see those guys with their preparation continue to do the things they're doing each and every day. I mean, they never take a step off, and they never take a step off from learning and trying to be better pitchers.
Maybe next to Salvi. Now Salvi's won a title. I think I was more happy for you than maybe this sounds bogus, but anyone else in the clubhouse with the acquisitions the team made this offseason, because to put you in a position where you're pitching in August and September and these games have postseason ramifications. How much did you need to see that commitment from the organization this offseason?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, just, you know, obviously we want to win, but, you know, that shows the commitment to win. And that was incredible. They came really quick. So just to see everybody that we got, they're going to help us win more baseball games. They're going to, you know, help us win more baseball games for ourselves, for our team, but more importantly, the city, you know, of Kansas City. So I've seen the pictures of the postseason. I've seen the videos. I've seen it all. And I know these fans are ready to win. And I know they're going to be, you know, supporting us the whole entire, you know, season, and you know, the postseason in Kansas City gives me goosebumps. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the pictures. I've seen a lot of blue in that stadium in the postseason, and you know, there's nothing more than, you know, that I want to do, and those guys in the clubhouse is in the pitch in the postseason, playing the postseason, and winning the postseason.
When you're in college, when you're in high school, when you're a kid, the goals, I would imagine, always been, yeah, get to the big leagues, but win titles. Build a legacy for myself. So with that said, I'm wondering, because this is your career, for as much as you appreciate what the Royals have done, this is your career, you got a family now. Did you need to see that? Did you need to see that, for as much as you respect the front office and ownership, hey, show me. Show me that I can win here long term.
Yeah, it was very good to see. I mean, yeah, you talk about getting to the big leagues, like that's the goal, right? And you know, I've got to the big leagues. I've reached my goal, but the next goal is to win. And you know, I've pitched in a little bit of postseason games in college. Obviously, is, you know, nothing compared to the, you know, postseason of Major League Baseball and the World Series and all that. But that feeling that you get when the postseason comes, it's something you can't explain. I don't know, everything, you know, everything turns to. The whole focus turns to winning. I don't care how I feel, you know, what hurts, what doesn't hurt, you know, what's going on here and there. It's we're going to go out here and win. And, you know, like I said, the city of Kansas City is here to win.
First time I had you on the show, 2019, I asked you what your relationship was with pressure. And you said, I thrive on it. You know, the brighter the lights, the more I crave it. Have you achieved those bright lights yet? Have you felt what you were hoping to feel in the big leagues?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the, you know, pitching in the big leagues is incredible, but I'm looking forward to, like we talked about, the postseason lights. That's a whole different animal. We got some guys in there that have, you know, done it. You know, Salvia and obviously Will Smith, and you know, some other guys that have done that. And I don't know. It's just, it sucks sitting at home watching the postseason. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be in the postseason. I want to be with my guys that I've been with for, you know, however many months, 8 months. You know, fighting. I don't want to sit on the couch anymore. I want to go out there and be in that moment, and you know, just enjoy it, soak it in, but go out there and win. And feel that pressure.
A couple more minutes here. Brady Singer here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern's Hot Stove each and every Thursday night from 6 until 7 o'clock. Do those acquisitions of Lugo, Waka, I can already hear your answer. I was going to, you know, alleviate pressure.
Yeah.
You have high expectations for yourself, right? But knowing that it's not, you got to lead us or we got no chance. Does that feel different?
Yeah, no, I don't. I feel like if we all think that way, it's gonna push all of us. You know, honestly, I think if we all feel that pressure to become better, and you know, we've talked about it. You know, I had it at Florida. The healthy competition within a team is what personally I think brings more wins to the clubhouse. I think we should, as a starting staff, sit there and compete with each other, try to one up each other, and obviously make it a friendly competition. And that's just gonna bring out the best in all of us, and obviously, you know, put together 5 consecutive days of good starts, give our team a chance to win, and then roll it over to the next guy.
So you're around and close friends with Witt and, you know, Hunter Dozier and Nicky Lopez, guys that have all gone on to other organizations and understandably had to have been beaten down because they went through a lot of losing even before you made it to the big leagues in 2020. So I always sympathized with them because they wanted it. They are competitors. You're seeing what they're doing elsewhere. How have you avoided letting the losing beat you down?
Yeah, I mean, I think just trust the process, trust the front office. And, you know, we talk about the acquisitions this year, and, you know, that's showing trust in the front office that they're here to win too. You know, I never doubted that they're here to win. And, you know, they've done an incredible job this offseason, you know, gaining the starters, gaining the hitters, and, you know, the bullpen as well. So they did an incredible job putting together a winning team. I really, you know, I say that with confidence that this is a winning team. We're going to go out there and have a lot of fun this year.
How are you a different man today than when we spoke at this time last year, because I don't have kids, but I've heard you change immediately once you see
them. Yeah, you do. I mean, it's you learn to balance. You know, my whole life has been baseball, baseball, baseball. But now there's, you know, obviously more important things with a family that you have to balance. So it's actually been an extremely enjoyable time. You know, obviously baseball is, you know, always on the front of my mind, but you know, my family now is right there, and they always have been. But it's just like, I don't know, you live your whole life playing this game and thinking about baseball 24/7, but now it's baseball and family, and you know, trying to be the best dad I can possibly be, and you know, be the best husband I can as well. It's been a really, really fun, you know, change of life for me to sit there and enjoy my kids, and you know, understand that outside the locker room, that you know, you have a family to take care of, and you have a family to sit there and enjoy. And it's been so much fun. It's like I said, it's life changing. But I want nothing else in the world. This has been just a absolute. You know, I think it was, what is he, 6 months and a few days now. So these last 6 months have just been, you know, the best times of my life, sitting here watching this kid grow up and trying to become parents. And you know, me and my wife have, you know, just trying to learn him. And like I said, I've just had an extreme blast sitting here raising him and teaching him and watching him. It's been fun.
You put the ball in there already? You got the mitt?
Yeah, he grabbed it left-handed the other day. I don't know why he did that, but
not opposed to it.
No, I mean, if he wants to be, if he
just
wants
means he's
to
gonna be a little, yeah, a little different. Yeah, he'll be a little exactly different.
Right. Yeah, no. I don't know if he's gonna want to pitch, hit, or I don't know. Maybe he plays golf.
Shohei, or maybe he does both, and he's the next Shohei.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna try it all. You know, we're gonna let him play whatever he wants to play and enjoy it.
Well, that's great, Brady. Thank you very much for the time, man. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Of course, appreciate it. Thank you.
Royals righty Brady Singer joining us on 610 Sports Radio. Two things that stood out to me. I want to feel that pressure. Man, I don't know. For someone that hasn't pitched in the postseason yet, I don't know how you can explain your hunger for postseason baseball in a better way than I want to feel that pressure. I mean, for a pitcher, it's not, I want to see it. I want to experience it. No, I want the pressure. That's the kind of guy that you want in your rotation. You want in your dugout come October. Someone that's asking for pressure, that understands pressure, is a privilege. And I loved his refusal to buy into my theory of, hey, you got Lugo and Waka. Suddenly it's not all on you. He pushes right back and says, no, I still want it all on me. And I want Lugo thinking it's all on him. And I want Reagans thinking it's all on him. Same for Michael Waka. Because if we do that, oh, we're some bad boys. Speaking of a bad boy, have you seen what Alec Marsh is doing out here in Arizona? We'll talk to the 25-year-old right-hander after this. Right back at it, Vern's Hot Stove, this and every Thursday from 6 until 7, all the way up until opening day 2024. Royals and Twinkies just 3 weeks away, and a man I fully expect to be standing on that first base foul line with his name introduced before a capacity crowd at Kauffman Stadium for the opener joins us now. He's just a few months away from his 26th birthday. He's been one of the talks of camp. He's Alec Marsh, kind enough to join us. Alec, it's a pleasure to have you. How are you tonight?
Vern, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm great. I mentioned it. The numbers very good this spring. Your name's coming out of the mouth of a lot of decision makers. What do you hope the coaches are learning about you?
Honestly, I mean, you know, that's stuff that's just out of my control. I think just coming into camp and being ready and continue to toe that rubber every 5 days, just let them know that, you know, I'm dependable and you know, just a good teammate. And I'm finding ways that are going to help us win down the long stretch.
What have you learned about yourself over the last 6 months since the debut to where you are now, backing up how you finish the season with some strong outings out here in spring? Have you proven anything to yourself? Have you learned something about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, learned a lot. You're always learning about yourself, I think. And I think the biggest things for me is just like, I think I found one of my bigger strengths out of my characteristics is, you know, adjusting on the fly, you know, learning new pitches in the big leagues and continue to grow every month. I think every month we just got a little bit better. And then going into the off season with a great plan of, what I had to do to come back to spring training to show that I just grew a lot over the offseason and grew over that experience from last year.
Were those final few months, or maybe the first few months of big league action, were they at all a blur, or can you close your eyes and take yourself back to each and every one of those outings?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when I close my eyes and look, you know, it just feels like a dream, you know, and that dream came true. And being able to look back, it's kind of funny because when you go on YouTube and you try to relive those moments by looking up the games that you pitched in and whatnot. But when you look at those games, you're just like, man, it feels like it was forever ago when it really wasn't. But two, just kind of, it's a cool feeling, and trying not to get so caught up in it. Like, I was in the big leagues, I played in the big leagues, because that's something that you got to do every day now, day in, day out, and have that confidence of like, that's where I want to play, that's where I want to be every day for the rest of my career.
I mentioned your name coming out of the mouths of a lot of decision makers, a lot of your teammates as well. I was talking with Chris Stratton, who's just his eyes were popping out when talking about your stuff. Are you hearing that? What kind of messaging are you getting from the new vets that now are all over this clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean, Strat's such a good dude. He came up to me early on in camp, and just, you know, being able to have these new guys, these veterans come in here, they're not afraid to talk to you, and I think that's something that we were missing for a while, and I think it's so cool to have these guys be able to come up to you and have that conversation of like, hey, we see what kind of stuff you got. It plays. This is what you need to do. Keep it simple. You know, throw strikes and you're going to be fine. Get ahead of hitters. But, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of stuff, and I'm not a praise guy at all. So sometimes it gets a little bit of annoying. I like talking about other guys and how good they are instead of talking about myself. But, yeah, it's been fantastic. And the new guys that came in have been just fitting right in and taking charge, taking control of the team. It's been great.
Michael Wacha told us a story last week about how Adam Wainwright taught him how to be a pro. I'm wondering what you're picking up from Wacha, what you're picking up about what it takes to stay in this game for a decade plus the way that he has.
Yeah, I love talking to Michael Wacha. That dude is just, he's so chill, and he kind of looks like Wano for some reason, like when I look at him. But he told me that he wanted to know how Wayno did everything, you know, how he slept, what he ate at night, that kind of stuff. So it's just cool to kind of pick the brain of a guy like that who was around another guy, Adam Wainwright, for as long as he was. But, you know, I think the biggest thing that's like a similarity talking to these guys is like, okay, yeah, I'm going through that now. That's something they went through when they're at this time in their career, and this is how it's going to get better, and this is what it's going to look like moving forward. And it's just very similar talks and how our minds work, which is really cool to see, because if you have those kind of similarities in a guy that's 34 years old and I'm 25, then, you know, hopefully the career will be as long as theirs and just be as good as theirs. So
I was talking with Anthony Veneziano about the influx of new veteran pitchers, and he points out that you're having a conversation with Will Smith about what he does in the offseason or what he does to prepare for the regular season. And then you realize, man, I've been doing that same thing. And it's almost validating that you belong here, A, and that you're doing the right things to stay here. Have you had that moment as well?
Exactly. Yeah. No, definitely. Talking to guys, like I said, talking to Walker and guys, and you're just having that conversation of like how your mind thinks, what you're thinking about, like on the mound, how you prepare, and you just keep coming back to these things that's like similarities between you two. And yeah, that definitely gives you validation of like, okay, well, that means I'm on track, right? So that's always a good feeling.
We had a lot of conversations on the postgame show, we being myself and the Royals fans that are listening right now, about you, especially in those final 2 months of the season where often there was an opener put in front of you for the first inning. I'm wondering how you handled that mentally, because growing up, you know, there's a certain, this is my game, and I, you know, you'll take the ball out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
You know, I would have conversations with Matt Quatrero, and the way that he would explain what they were doing made all the sense in the world. You know, you let Alec Marsh go out there from the second to the sixth inning. He's going to carve dudes up. He's going to take all this confidence into the offseason, and let's see what it does for him in 2024. Did you get that at the time, or was there an old school, I got to swallow the pride because this is what baseball's always been, where the starter gets the ball in the first and you got to rip it out of his hands?
Yeah. There's definitely there's a dark monster inside me that was, you know, screaming. Because the goal is always to go as deep into games, right? And to go get that quality start and stuff like that. And I just didn't have the tools or the experience to do that last year. I felt like, you know, I was always going 4 or 5 innings, always high pitch counts, very long at bats. So the realistic side of me was like, okay, like this opener thing is probably going to help me out. It's going to keep me away from the top 3-4 hitters, facing them 3 times. I'm going to be able to get through the order 3 times doing this. And then just kind of build off that until we figure out a way how we're going to start getting through these innings in 15 pitches or less. That was just kind of like something. I always trust what they were going to do and what their plan was for me. So I never had any squandrels with what was going on. I'm very much a yes man. Just give me the ball. I'll go out there in any role and try to help us win a game. So.
And it seems as if you've learned, well, you know, we'll see, but and you understood, you know, the messaging coming from Brian Sweeney about being efficient and throwing strikes, because talking with you the other day after that solid performance, I believe the quote you gave Annie Rogers was, throw strike one down their throat, and it gets a lot easier after that.
Yeah, it's keeping it simple, you know. That's another thing when you're learning about yourself over the past 6 months. Had a tendency to think too much, for sure. So one of the biggest things this offseason was just trying to keep it loose, keep it simple, and want to have fun. You know, when I'm having fun and I'm out there and I'm getting strike one, the good things happen. And I think that's what's been going on so far this spring training for me. It's been great to see that progress this fast in the season and just want to carry that out.
Prior to your professional career, were you ever bitten by thinking too much, or was it too much fun, or did it come too easy up until you became a pro?
Yeah, definitely ups and downs. I mean, going to college and being one of the worst players on a team freshman year, and then turning into the Friday night starter halfway through sophomore year. I've always been a guy who, no matter how hard I get kicked in the face, like, I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to figure it out. And I don't care how long it's going to take, but it's going to get figured out eventually. And then you learn things along the way, where it's like, you know, not thinking for me is the best, right? Or, you know, if you're out there thinking about A, B, and C, it's not going to go well. So just kind of remember those simple things and go out there and just and have fun. And when I'm loose and I'm talkative and I'm hanging out with the guys, that's when things go the best.
Yeah, whether it's, and maybe you just answered it right there, freshman to sophomore year jump, but you're a second round pick in 2019, the pandemic in 2020 obviously screwed up everyone's growth. You're banged up in 21. 2022, you're striking everyone out, but the ERA is not exactly what you want. I'm wondering, and again, maybe it's freshman year back in ASU, but when did the big leagues feel the furthest away?
Probably that first full season in Arkansas, because it was flashes of really good stuff, but it was also getting my teeth kicked in a lot, almost every start. You know, there wasn't a single start in the year that I was, like, happy with. And I was like, man, how am I going to do this? So then you got to go through an offseason, you got to, like, reinvent yourself again, right? You start meeting new people, you start thinking about, oh, what do I have to do to get better? What did I struggle at the most? And it ended up being up top in the head. So I went to work on that aspect of the game and it started to kind of come together that next season.
Who do you lean on in those times when, man, I'm not happy with anything I'm doing out here?
Yeah, I mean, my fiance and I have been together for 5-6 years now. She's been my rock. She's someone I can always talk to, but just friends. You know, I keep my circle really close, and I surround myself with people who are truly better than me, because I try to rise. And that helps me become better myself. So I'm very particular on who I hang out with and who I share my things with. But everybody in that clubhouse, man, I feel like I can talk to them at any moment, anytime I want, talk about anything, you know, baseball, non-baseball. It's been just great. The clubhouse.
And I know, man, I know you're still very young in your career, so this might be an unfair question, but man, I talk with you, I talk with your teammates, and the clarity in which this Royals team is speaking about their goals for 2024. I mean, you were very straightforward. I want to be on this team. I'm going to earn a spot on this team. You hear Cole Reagans, man, all I care about is winning. Will Smith, we want to win. Brady Singer, I got to know what the postseason tastes like. Is that permeating in that clubhouse as much as it seems? The clarity of here's what we are doing, not what we want. We are going to do this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different vibe, man. It's the best vibe I've been around since I'm being a Royal. And it's not even like, it's not shoving the idea of winning down your throat every day. It's just a known fact, you know. The guys come to the work. They come to the yard every day. They want to go to work, and the expectation is to win. But it's not pressure for us. It's like it just feels like, okay, now we have an idea. Especially ending the season last year with such a young team, but seeing flashes of really good stuff. You know, sweeping Houston. You know, winning 15 games in that last month. Like, it's coming together, and then adding all those pieces was just like a validating moment. Like, okay. Now we got guys to lean on that we know we can trust, and that are only going to help our young guys as well. So it's been great. And I think having those guys like Reagan, Smith, Singer, Bobby, you know, it's just like, you can go on and on about guys, and the main goal is just like WIN, you know, win.
Yep.
What's important right now?
What's important now? I like it. You didn't just come up with that, did you?
Oh, we got shirts made. We got things talking, you know, worry about. We got shirts that just say today, too. That's a big one.
Sure.
And worry about today. One pitch at a time. I think the catchers have shirts that say win on it, say what's important now. So that just kind of resonated in my head. But.
And that's coming from the top. I mean, the today mantra last September, that started with Matt Quatrero, who I think is the perfect sort of manager for this team right now that appears to be on the cusp of something big.
Yeah, definitely exciting. Definitely exciting.
Alec Marsh, Royals right-hander, ASU's finest. Real quick, ASU, known as one of my buddy's sons, just went to ASU, known as one of the great party schools. What was the most Arizona State University thing you witnessed in your time there?
I mean, I've seen people go swimming in the pond on campus.
Uh-huh. And it's filthy, I would presume?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
No shirt on.
Yeah.
Probably have no idea where he's at. Just going for a dive.
That wasn't like Spencer Torkelson or any of your boys that you're playing with. That was just the bozos in the stands, right?
Yeah, just the bozos. I got too many stories about that guy. We're such good friends, and I hope him nothing but the best this season. He's a great dude. Yeah.
Well, he's going to have to see you. I'll tell you that. He's going to have to see you at some point this season.
The face of him in the big leagues. I never got to last year, so that'll be fun.
You guys are going
to
be sick of each other by the time your careers are over, because I don't see either one of you leaving this division anytime soon. Alec Marsh, Royals right-hander, one of the talks of camp thus far. Very generous with your time tonight. Now go get to work, man. We appreciate your time.
I will. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Alec Marsh, telling you, I mean, you guys heard me last season talking him up. He's got it all. Starter, reliever, pitcher. He's a big league pitcher. Now, does he grab the five spot this year? Let's hope so. But if not, then you saw what he could do coming out of the bullpen last season, multiple innings. Really excited about the future of that 25-year-old. Really excited about the future for the Royals. I think you all are excited, especially once they lock up a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. And a quick heads up, Jackson County residents, 50% off Loge outfield tickets along with outfield plaza and field level seating. 50% off if you're a Jackson County resident. Over 20 games to choose from. Just check royals.com/tickets. Thanks to Brady Singer and Alec Marsh for the help. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help as well. Dusty Likens, After Hours, coming your way next on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Take care. Gonna get my baby one time.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Right back at it, Vern's Hot Stove, this and every Thursday from 6 until 7, all the way up until opening day 2024. Royals and Twinkies just 3 weeks away, and a man I fully expect to be standing on that first base foul line with his name introduced before a capacity crowd at Kauffman Stadium for the opener joins us now. He's just a few months away from his 26th birthday. He's been one of the talks of camp. He's Alec Marsh, kind enough to join us. Alec, it's a pleasure to have you. How are you tonight?
Vern, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm great. I mentioned it. The numbers very good this spring. Your name's coming out of the mouth of a lot of decision makers. What do you hope the coaches are learning about you?
Honestly, I mean, you know, that stuff that's just out of my control. I think just coming into camp and being ready and continue to toe that rubber every 5 days, just let them know that, you know, I'm dependable and you know, just a good teammate. And I'm finding ways that are going to help us win down the long stretch.
What have you learned about yourself over the last 6 months since the debut to where you are now, backing up how you finished the season with some strong outings out here in spring? Have you proven anything to yourself? Have you learned something about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, learned a lot. You're always learning about yourself, I think. And I think the biggest things for me is just like, I think I found one of my bigger strengths out of my characteristics is, you know, adjusting on the fly, you know, learning new pitches in the big leagues and continuing to grow every month. I think every month we just got a little bit better. And then going into the offseason with a great plan of what I had to do to come back this spring training to show that I just grew a lot over the offseason and grew over that experience from last year.
Were those final few months, or maybe the first few months of big league action, were they at all a blur, or can you close your eyes and take yourself back to each and every one of those outings?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when I close my eyes and look, you know, it just feels like a dream, you know, and that dream came true. And being able to look back, it's kind of funny because when you go on YouTube and you try to relive those moments by looking up the games that you pitched in and whatnot. But when you look at those games, you're just like, man, it feels like it was forever ago when it really wasn't. But two, just kind of, it's a cool feeling, and trying not to get so caught up in it. Like, I was in the big leagues. I played in the big leagues because that's something that you got to do every day now, day in, day out, and have that confidence of like, that's where I want to play. That's where I want to be every day for the rest of my career.
I mentioned your name coming out of the mouths of a lot of decision makers, a lot of your teammates as well. I was talking with Chris Stratton, who's just his eyes were popping out when talking about your stuff. Are you hearing that? What kind of messaging are you getting from the new vets that now are all over this clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean, Strat's such a good dude. He came up to me early on in camp and just, you know, being able to have these new guys, these veterans come in here, they're not afraid to talk to you. And I think that's something that we were missing for a while. And I think it's so cool to have these guys be able to come up to you and have that conversation of like, hey, we see what kind of stuff you got. It plays. This is what you need to do. Keep it simple. You know, throw strikes and you're going to be fine. Get ahead of hitters. But, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of stuff, and I'm not a praise guy at all. So sometimes it gets a little bit of annoying. I like talking about other guys and how good they are instead of talking about myself. But, yeah, it's been fantastic. And the new guys that came in have been just fitting right in and taking charge, taking control of the team. It's been great.
Michael Wacha told us a story last week about how Adam Wainwright taught him how to be a pro. I'm wondering what you're picking up from Wacha, what you're picking up about what it takes to stay in this game for a decade plus the way that he has.
Yeah, I love talking to Michael Wacha. That dude is just, he's so chill, and he kind of looks like Waino for some reason, like when I look at him. But he told me that he wanted to know how Waino did everything, you know, how he slept, what he ate at night, that kind of stuff. So it's just cool to kind of pick the brain of a guy like that who was around another guy, Adam Wainwright, for as long as he was. But, you know, I think the biggest thing that's like a similarity talking to these guys is like, okay, yeah, I'm going through that now. That's something they went through when they're at this time in their career, and this is how it's going to get better, and this is what it's going to look like moving forward. And it's just very similar talks and how our minds work, which is really cool to see, because if you have those kind of similarities in a guy that's 34 years old and I'm 25, then, you know, hopefully the career will be as long as theirs and just be as good as theirs, so...
I was talking with Anthony Veneziano about the influx of new veteran pitchers, and he points out that you're having a conversation with Will Smith about what he does in the offseason or what he does to prepare for the regular season, and then you realize, man, I've been doing that same thing, and it's almost validating that you belong here, A, and that you're doing the right things to stay here. Have you had that moment as well?
Exactly. Yeah. No, definitely. Talking to guys, like I said, talking to Walker and guys, and you're just having that conversation of, like, how your mind thinks. What you're thinking about, like, on the mound, how you prepare, and you just keep coming back to these things that's, like, similarities between you two. And, yeah, that definitely gives you validation of, like, okay, well, that means I'm on track, right? So that's always a good feeling.
We had a lot of conversations on the postgame show, we being myself and the Royals fans that are listening right now, about you, especially in those final 2 months of the season where often there was an opener put in front of you for the first inning. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how you handled that mentally, because growing up, you know, there's a certain, this is my game, and you'll take the ball out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
You know, I would have conversations with Matt Quatrero, and the way that he would explain what they were doing made all the sense in the world. You know, you let Alec Marsh go out there from the second to the sixth inning. He's going to carve dudes up. He's going to take all this confidence into the offseason, and let's see what it does for him in 2024. Did you get that at the time, or was there an old school, I got to swallow the pride because this is what baseball's always been, where the starter gets the ball in the first and you got to rip it out of his hands?
Yeah, there's definitely there's a dark monster inside me that was, you know, screaming. Because the goal is always to go as deep into games, right? And to go get that quality start and stuff like that. And I didn't have the tools or the experience to do that last year, I felt like. You know, I was always going 4 or 5 innings, always high pitch counts, very long at-bats. So the realistic side of me was like, okay, like, this opener thing is probably going to help me out. It's going to keep me away from the top 3-4 hitters, facing them 3 times. I'm going to be able to get through the order 3 times doing this, and then just kind of build off that until we figure out a way how we're going to start getting through these innings in 15 pitches or less. That was just kind of like something I always trust what they were going to do and what their plan was for me. So I never had any squandrels with what was going on. I'm very much a yes man. Just give me the ball. I'll go out there in any role and try to help us win a game. So,
and it seems as if you've learned, well, you know, we'll see, but and you understood, you know, the messaging coming from Brian Sweeney about being efficient and throwing strikes. Because talking with you the other day after that solid performance, I believe the quote you gave Andy Rogers was, throw strike one down their throat, and it gets a lot easier after that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's keeping it simple, you know.
Yeah.
That's another thing when you're learning about yourself over the past 6 months. Had a tendency to think too much, for sure. So, one of the biggest things this offseason was just trying to keep it loose, keep it simple, and want to have fun. You know, when I'm having fun and I'm out there and I'm getting strike one, the good things happen. And I think that's what's been going on so far this spring training for me. It's been great to see that progress this fast in the season and just want to carry that out.
Prior to your professional career, were you ever bitten by thinking too much, or was it too much fun, or did it come too easy up until you became a pro?
Yeah, definitely ups and downs. I mean, going to college and being one of the worst players on the team freshman year, and then turning into the Friday night starter halfway through sophomore year. I've always been a guy who, no matter how hard I get kicked in the face, like, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to figure it out. And I don't care how long it's going to take, but it's going to get figured out eventually. And then you learn things along the way, whereas, like, you know, not thinking for me is the best, right? Or, you know, if you're out there thinking about A, B, and C, it's not going to go well. So just kind of remember those simple things and go out there and just and have fun. And when I'm loose and I'm talkative and I'm hanging out with the guys, that's when things go the best.
Yeah, whether it's, and maybe you just answered it right there, freshman to sophomore year jump, but you're a second round pick in 2019. The pandemic in 2020 obviously screwed up everyone's growth. You're banged up in 21. 2022, you're striking everyone out, but the ERA is not exactly what you want. I'm wondering, and again, maybe it's freshman year back in ASU, but when did the big leagues feel the furthest away?
Probably that first full season in Arkansas, because it was flashes of really good stuff, but it was also getting my teeth kicked in a lot, almost every start. You know, there wasn't a single start in the year that I was like happy with. And I was like, man, how am I going to do this? So then you got to go through an off season. You got to like reinvent yourself again, right? You start meeting new people. You start thinking about, oh, what do I have to do to get better? What did I struggle at the most? And it ended up being up top in the head. So I went to work on that aspect of the game and it started to kind of come together that next season.
Who do you lean on in those times when, man, I'm not happy with anything I'm doing out here?
Yeah, I mean, my fiance and I have been together for 5-6 years now. She's been my rock. She's someone I can always talk to, but just friends. You know, I keep my circle really close, and I surround myself with people who are truly better than me, because I try to rise, and that helps me become better myself. So I'm very particular on who I hang out with and who I share my things with, but everybody in that clubhouse, man, I feel like I can talk to them at any moment, anytime I want, talk about anything, you know, baseball, non-baseball. It's been just great. The clubhouse.
And I know, I know you're still very young in your career, so this might be an unfair question, but man, I talk with you, I talk with your teammates, and the clarity in which this Royals team is speaking about their goals for 2024. I mean, you were very straightforward. I want to be on this team. I'm going to earn a spot on this team. You know, you hear Cole Reagans, man, all I care about is winning. Will Smith, we want to win. Brady Singer, I got to know what the postseason tastes like. Is that permeating in that clubhouse as much as it seems? The clarity of, here's what we are doing, not what we want. We are going to do this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different vibe, man. It's the best vibe I've been around since I'm being a Royal. And it's not even like, it's not shoving the idea of winning down your throat every day. It's just a known fact, you know. The guys come to the work. They come to the yard every day. They want to go to work, and the expectation is to win. But it's not pressure for us. It's like, it just feels like, okay, now we have an idea. Especially ending the season last year with such a young team, but seeing flashes of really good stuff. You know, sweeping Houston. You know, winning 15 games in that last month. Like, it's coming together, and then adding all those pieces was just like a validating moment. Like, okay. Now we got guys to lean on that we know we can trust, and that are only going to help our young guys as well. So that's it's been great. And I think having those guys like Reagan, Smith, Singer, Bobby, you know, it's just like, you can go on and on about guys, and the main goal is just like WIN, you know, win.
Yep.
What's important right now?
What's important now? I like it. You didn't just come up with that, did you?
No, we got shirts made. We got things talking, you know, worry about. We got shirts that just say today, too. That's a big one.
Sure.
And worry about today. One pitch at a time. I think the catchers have shirts that say win on it, say what's important now. So that just kind of resonated in my head. But.
And that's coming from the top. I mean, the today mantra last September, that started with Matt Quatrero, who I think is the perfect sort of manager for this team right now that appears to be on the cusp of something big.
Yeah, definitely exciting. Definitely exciting.
Alec Marsh, Royals right-hander, ASU's finest. Real quick, ASU, known as one of my buddy's sons, just went to ASU, known as one of the great party schools. What was the most Arizona State University thing you witnessed in your time there?
I mean, I've seen people go swimming in the pond on campus.
And it's filthy, I would presume?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
No shirt on.
Yeah.
Probably have no idea where he's at. Just going for a dive.
That wasn't like Spencer Torkelson or any of your boys that you're playing with. That was just the bozos in the stands, right?
Yeah, just the bozos. I got too many stories about that guy. We're such good friends, and I hope him nothing but the best this season. He's a great dude. Yeah.
Well, he's going to have to see you. I'll tell you that. He's going to have to see you at some point this season.
The face of him in the big leagues. I never got to last year, so.
You guys are going
to
be sick of each other by the time your careers are over, because I don't see either one of you leaving this division anytime soon. Alec Marsh, Royals right-hander, one of the talks of camp thus far. Very generous with your time tonight. Now go get to work, man. We appreciate your time.
I will. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Alec Marsh, telling you, I mean, you guys heard me last season talking him up. He's got it all. Starter, reliever, pitcher. He's a big league pitcher. Now, does he grab the five spot this year? Let's hope so. But if not, then you saw what he could do coming out of the bullpen last season, multiple innings. Really excited about the future of that 25-year-old. Really excited about the future for the Royals. I think you all are excited, especially once they lock up a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. And a quick heads up, Jackson County residents, 50% off Loge outfield tickets along with outfield plaza and view-level seating. 50% off if you're a Jackson County resident. Over 20 games to choose from. Just check royals.com/tickets. Thanks to Brady Singer and Alec Marsh for the help. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help as well. Dusty Likens, After Hours, coming your way next on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Take care.
Gonna get my baby one time. Yeah.